Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
You chose to be in the best place that you could be this morning. Amen. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't agree, please don't say anything. We are very blessed to be here today. And last week, if you were here, we talked about betrayal. How many of you have been betrayed before? I believe the only ones that cannot raise their hands, the little ones, because they have no idea what that means. But they will eventually, painfully, find out that it is a fact of life. In a world where there is sin, there is always somebody that may betray your trust. The question is not if you will become a victim. The question I'm worried about is that you don't become the traitor. You don't become the one who inflict this kind of pain on anybody else. It is, you know, God, by God's grace, if this happens to us, God will lift us up and will help us to deal with it. And under His grace, we'll be able to survive. But what is dangerous is when we are the one who are inflicting that kind of a hurt on somebody else. So today's message, it is the same of last week, with exception, this is part two. There is a bag of money. How many of you know, or even have thought, where is money? Sometimes we grab money and we think that money is just a piece of paper, is just a coin, and something that has a little value. But have you ever thought to stop to think about what is money? Money is time. Time is life. Every time you take money from somebody, you're taking time from somebody. You're exchanging time. When you buy things, you're exchanging time. And time is life. So every time you invest time, you're investing life. So please understand the greatest gift that you have in your existence is life. Now, if you look at the word life, L-I-F-E, life is forever. Love is forever. That's what life stands all about. That's the time that you invest. It has to be forever. Now, look at the word gift. Think about the subject today. When you look at the word gift, you have the G, stands for goodness, grace, God. And then what is the T at the end? Time. It is the treasure. It is the talent. It's all what comes from God. It is and is all about life. What about the if in between? Yes, individual faithfulness makes a difference between God and time. So let's think about this as we continue with our message today. Betrayal. We put this in the screen last time. Is to mislead. What is the word mislead? It's a compound word that says take somebody from the right path and put in the wrong path with the intent to destroy. Every time we mislead someone, even if we don't think about it, the intent is to destroy. Is to break relationship, is to break trust. It is evil. So do not ever mislead anyone. Some people say they do the bad things. This is very common here in the United States, unfortunately. We do something bad, and then when we are confronted with, we say, oh, I'm sorry, I was just joking. You put a lie on top of another lie. Eternal life is not a joke. Losing your eternal life is not a joke. Don't play that kind of game, because the only one who is laughing is Satan. And believe me, he has a very big barbecue ready, and you don't want to be the meat there. As a treason, betrayal is betraying, of course, betrayal of trust and breach of faith. It's when somebody put faith on you and you break that trust. Also, it is a deeply painful experience. Anyone who has gone through betrayal, in a marriage or in a financial transaction or any level of life, it is a very painful experience. It destroys trust, it destroys individual relationships, it destroys everything. That's why betrayal should never be part of our lives. In the Bible, betrayal represents a violation of one's relationship with God, means the Ten Commandments, like my sister was put on the screen today. And Sister Helene, I think she went down to the kitchen probably to help us to, but they can listen to their phone. When I saw the picture of the Mount Rushmore and the four presidents there, and then we see the picture of another rock, and the one is writing in that rock, in that we call the law. He was making his picture, because that's the law of God, is the God's picture. So the other one had the picture of our presidents, but in the law, we see the picture of the Almighty God, because His law is an expression of what He is. And when we betray Him, we are breaking that law. We are destroying that relationship. The same thing with individuals, because the law is our relationship with God and our relationship with His creation. So the both sides. It is a deliberate act of disloyalty. Loyalty means law. Disloyalty means breaking the law, getting away with the law. That's what disloyalty means. Selfishness. What is selfishness? Is the worship of self. And when you worship yourself, you're no longer breaking God. You're no longer keeping God's laws, because you cannot love God and love yourself above God. Greed. There goes the money. Or a misguided pursuit of power. Most people, once they want money, because they want power, and they think that they have to have both. Now, talking about time, it was mentioned here already. In a few more days, we, as if you are an American, you'll be celebrating. If you are not an American, but you are in America, you should celebrate too, because the fact that God has provided a nation where we can be blessed. Now, here's two individuals, one representing the past, the beginning, and one represents the present. And I don't know if you can read what it says on the top. Can you read what it says on the top? The face of prayer has changed. The need for prayer has not and will never end. And so God bless America. And by the way, when you say to somebody, God bless you, that is a prayer. Did you know that that's a prayer? And when you say, God bless America, it is a prayer that you're praying for the country, and because the country is not the land, it's the people. So you're praying, even including yourself, because you are here in America. So God bless America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33, that's verse 12, I believe. Okay? Continue. From heroism to treason. Anybody here have an idea who this person was? You already forgot your... you do, right? Okay. One hand. You remember this school? Oh, that, I like this little girl. Every time we ask for our volunteer here, she raises her hand. She has the right spirit. Just guide, as a mother, guide that spirit, and she will be successful in life. Because every time we ask for a volunteer, she's, I don't know what I'm volunteer for, but I'm here, ready to go. That's great. That's beautiful. And so if you're young, you went to high school, you got your history books, you're supposed to have an idea who this person is. This individual in American history is the Judas. Now, do you have an idea who this individual is? It starts with a B. His first name started with a B. His name became a symbol in American history. If you go to, when I first came to the United States, I attend high school because of my student visa. I attend high school, and The teacher will come and talk about history, American history. He says, this individual, what is interesting about him, that he, for many years, from West Point, he became an officer, a very successful. He fought the enemies, the British, the French. He fought everything that was a threat to our country. But he got greedy and decided to switch sides. He decided to help the enemy. And he became a symbol of what Judas is all about, betrayal. His face, anywhere you find his face in America, it means only one thing, treason. Somebody who values himself more than his own people, his own country. By the way, in our streets, I have seen a lot of Benedicts. I have seen people in this country now, and it breaks my heart as a Christian, that a nation under God, that somebody is going to the streets and violating the rights, the free speech, and call death to America. This is treason. You cannot call anything else. And I'm not being political, I'm just being practical. Okay? Now, the whole thing starts between these two individuals. I should say three. Adam and Eve. They were asked, do you like the Lord of your life? Would you like to change? And what was the payment? What was the currency we used? A fruit. How cheap that can be. Give up everything because of one bite. I wonder how many of you have been in a restaurant in the wrong time, the wrong place, and the wrong menu. And you also were giving up everything because of one bite. Yes, betrayal, treason can be obtained or we can be performed in many different ways. It says, even my best friend, when I read this, it's very painful, because when we see what Jesus went through and what God goes through every day with his creation, even my best friend, the one I trust completely, the one who shared my food. You know, you see the picture of betrayal, but you imagine the whole talk with the disciples. We have the text here to show you. It happened before a table when they were about to share the communion. Even the one who shared my food. And my food here is a symbol of my body. Jesus Christ says, my body, my church, has turned against me. Psalm 41 verse 9, New Living Translation. Now, the disciples promise. How many of you here are Seventh-day Adventists? Okay, the rest needs to be get ready to next baptism, okay? The ones that did not raise a hand, we'll take care of that. All right? So those of you that have been baptized as Seventh-day Adventists, you made a vow. You made a commitment. And you cannot break that vow, because when you break that vow, you are betraying the one who you made the vow to. The disciples, they were baptized and now they are following Jesus. So Jesus said to his disciples, during this very night, what night do you think that it was talking about? The same night he was teaching them the communion. This same night, the moment that, you know what communion means? The communion means absence of betrayal. That's what it means. Communion is assurance against betrayal. This very night, all of you will reject me. One exception. Do you have an idea who was the exception? There was one exception. One that refused to be part of all. Sometimes it's good to be part of all, but sometimes it's the worst thing can happen to us if we all that we are concerned about is being part of the crowd. You know the herd complex? John. John was at the foot of the cross, the only one who was there. But all of them, the rest, reject Jesus. As the scriptures say, I will strike down the shepherd, and what will happen to the sheep? They will all run away, is scared. Without Matthew 26, verse 31 to 35, now verse 32, it says, but after I am raised to life, what is life again? Can you remember what life stands for? Love is forever. Life is forever. I will go ahead to you to Galilee. In other words, I'll go ahead home before you, because Galilee was home for Jesus for many, many years. Peter spoke up. Oh, I don't feel comfortable with this all business, Lord. I don't want to be part of all. I will stand up. I'm not going to reject you. I will be faithful. I will be faithful. I will never do that. How many of us will say that, have said that many times? Oh, no, no, not me. I will never do that. And then we betray. Peter's promise, Jesus replied, I promise you before a rooster crows tonight, you will three times deny me. You're the one that says that, no, not you. You're not going to deny. You will betray. But Peter said, even if I had to die with you, I will never say I do not know you. There is more than one way you can say I do not know you. When somebody asks about your faith, you can say, I have no clue. What are you talking about? I have no idea who you are. I am not part of it. Some people are so embarrassed to say, I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Some people, they deny their faith the way they dress. They deny their faith the way they talk. And they deny their faith when they sign their checks. Or they put their hands on their wallet. They deny their faith. All those things is important for us to think, am I the one who will have an opportunity to stand up for Christ? Am I going to say, I have no idea who he is? The ultimate act of betrayal in the Bible, without doubt, is that of Judas. Okay? But you can see that all the disciples, they deny Christ as well. The only difference was the outcome. Here he is with all the money, the price of his betrayal. Please look in your wallets, look in your pockets, make sure that everything that is there, it belongs to God. Judas agreed to betray Jesus, what? For a few. One of the 12 disciples, of course, went to the leading priests and said to them, how much would you pay for my eternal life? Is that what it says there? What doesn't the Bible says that Jesus is life, is eternal life? So how much do you pay me so I can betray eternal life? So I can throw away my eternal life? Basically, that's what he was asking. How much does your eternal life cost to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. You know, when people do not know what eternal life, they don't value eternal life, maybe they will take 30 pieces. Maybe that's all that they need. The price of betrayal. Matthew 26, verse 14 and 16, verse 16 says, from that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Now, from that time on, means that he still met with Jesus, met with the disciples, sat at the table, shared the food, did everything together. But his mind was long gone. And what is interesting is Luke even said, the moment that he left the communion table, when Jesus said, "What are you going to do, Judas? You got to go and do it." He says, that moment, Satan took over his life. He was no longer able to go back. And when he was, you know, when he noticed that Jesus Christ did not react the way he expected, and the Bible says that he was, you know, full of remorse, and he went back and threw the money at the priest and then went and hung himself. He did not repent. I'll tell you very quickly here why he had what. How to explain that emotion. He believed that by betraying Jesus, he was forcing Jesus to take control. He was not all the money. He wanted more than 30 pieces. He wanted Jesus to be in power so he will go also to have power. He was looking for power. The 30 pieces, that's what he threw back, because he wanted more than that. And he was never repented. He did not repent. That's why he went and took his life. Satan was in control of his life. Now Peter. Peter denies Jesus also, as Jesus predicted. And you see this in Luke 22, verse 54 to 62. It says, verse 54, "They arrest Jesus and led him away and brought him into the house of the high priest." That's the wrong reason to go to the pastor's house. He went there. Peter followed far behind. He was still close by. After the soldiers started the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat together, verse 55, Peter sat with them. He was close enough, but not committed. A servant girl saw Peter sitting there in a fireplace, in a firelight, and looked close at him, and she said, "I know you. This man also was with him. He's part of the church. He's part of them too. He's a Seventh-day Adventist too." How do you think she knew? Anybody has a hint? Why do you think she knew? Was for the looks, because the light was not very that good. Because the way he talked was the Galilean accent. I notice sometimes when I speak, people say, "Are you Brazilian?" I said, "How do you know?" But Peter said, this was not true. What was not true? What was Peter denying? "You are one of them." No, that's not true. I'm not one of them. At that moment, he was telling the truth, because he was not one of them anymore. And he said, "Woman, I don't know him." Do you know what to know in the Bible means? Anybody here knows what to know, what the Bible says to know what the Bible means? To be one with. To be part of, to be a family. Men and women, when get married, to know each other means to become one. When he says, "I do not know him," says, "I'm not part of him." A short time later, another person saw Peter and looked like the devil. Says, "I need another volunteer to go and talk to this guy again. You are also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I'm not. Please stop bothering me. I'm not. I already told you guys I'm not." And some version says that he cussed. He used dirty words to show that there was no religion in him. There was no faith in him. About that, an hour later, another man insisted, "Certainly this man was with him, because he is from Galilee." That's when the accent came up. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At once, while Peter was still speaking, the sign that Jesus told him, "Peter, there is a sign of grace. When you hear the rooster, that's when you have to decide, am I going to run towards God's grace, or I will go run and do exactly what Judas did, hang himself." Then the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter and gave him one more chance. And Peter remembered what the Lord said, "Before the rooster crows this day, you will say three times that you do not know me." Then Peter went outside and he cried. See the distinction between what Judas decided to do and what Peter did? See the distinction? Both of them betrayed Jesus exactly the same way. But one was willing to go back. Another one was not. Yes, painfully. Do you know what it means painfully when you cry painfully? It is, you have a tough process. Every tear has a meaning. Peter and Jesus. This after Jesus resurrected everything else. So here comes the time for grace. I want all of you to look at this Peter. Okay? Yes, we can see that Peter before, the one who denied. Now look this Peter, because this is a whole story about grace. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John." This version says son of John because it's Jonah, but John means God is the one who gives. God is gracious. "Simon, son of God is gracious." Here's a time for you to receive some grace. "Do you love me more than this?" And Jesus was a point to the other disciples. He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs," or my sheep. Again, Jesus said to Simon, son of the most gracious God, "John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Second time, Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Again, a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know everything. Yes, you told me that I was going to betray you, and you know everything about me. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." Peter, who denied Christ in such a disgusting way, was restored by God's grace and became a powerful witness of the gospel. And he ended up giving his life for the gospel. What he was afraid before, what motivated him to deny the fear of death, he ended up giving his life. Amen. Some of you may talk about cheap grace. May tell you, may preach to you that, oh, don't worry, God will forgive everything you do. Please don't get confused, the journey of Judas and the journey of Peter. There was no grace available for Judas because Judas did not want anything to do with grace. He walked away from grace. He went and took care of his own life. He sold the eternal life for 30 pieces of silver, but not Peter. Peter came back and reached out for grace, and he received grace. And he became an instrument of sharing grace to many others. By the way, I recommend for this afternoon, if you want a homework for this afternoon, read the story of Peter and Cornelius. You can see how he became powerful to preach the Gentiles the gospel. Love of money. The love of money causes all kinds of evil. Some people have left the faith because they want to get more money. But they have caused themselves much sorrow. Yes, faith or money. If you have faith, you have money. But if you only go after money, you're going to have what? Nothing. You're going to lose everything. So make sure that when you make the right choice. Throughout my life as a young believer, when I was just baptized, we have been tested many times, especially when you have no parents, when you have no home, when you have no job. Believe me, the devil knows how to tempt. I got many offers to a job, and I was starving. I was anxious to get a job so I could pay for my food, pay for a place to stay. Everybody was offering me a job, but on their terms. I said, no, I will not sacrifice my relationship with God because of money. And God reward me as He will reward each one of you according to His grace. Show your faith, and God will give you what you need. Gift is God, individual faith, and the treasure, the talent, the time, eternal life. That's what his gift is all about. My best and truest friend who ate at my table has even turned against me. That's the verse that we used as the scripture reading for today. Even as he hung on the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And I believe that when I read this, I believe that prayer was on my behalf. And I hope that you see that way as well. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, again the word gift, of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, who is paying your wages? Jesus. We know that God works all things for good. All things. For good. For the ones who love God. If you love God, all things will work for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. That's a common English Bible. And we today like to say to this in conclusion. All of you here have heard this name, this word before, Maranatha. You know what Maranatha means, right? Come, Lord Jesus. So it's time for us to be thinking about this constantly. Come, Lord Jesus. That is the goal. That is the purpose. Trust God. He said, I'm coming back. If you look through Scripture, every promise that God has made, He has fulfilled. And this promise, in more than 1,000 times in the Scriptures, God is saying, I'm coming back. Amen. I'm coming back. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hang in there. Be faithful. Amen. The reward is in your way. Let's stand and sing praises to the Lord, because we have this assurance that Jesus is mine and we are His.